Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips,
strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
This is the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Nicola Canton, and today we're talking about when piano students quit. Today's topic is not the happiest one, but I think it's worth talking about because I think it's something that we make more negative than we need to a lot of the time. It's tough when students leave. It's just tough to end that relationship. It doesn't matter really how long it's been, although it gets tougher as time goes on, but even for students we've only had for a short while, it can be really difficult when they leave our studio. It can cause us to ask ourselves a lot of questions about whether we're good enough and whether we did the right thing in every single moment that we spent with them or every single time that we talked to their parents. So today, let's do some honest reflection on why your student quit. And you can come back to this anytime you have a student leave and you're thinking, oh, I'm all up in my feelings about this. I'm not sure, right? We're kind of spiraling. Or just a little spiral, maybe it's only a mini one. But I think we need to take this moment to reflect. Why did they quit? What is the circumstance? And can we learn anything from it that is useful? And then we can wrap it up with a bow and move on, right? So we're going to talk through 8 different scenarios so that you can try to identify which category your student quitter in quotes, fits into, and therefore some of the questions you might ask yourself or the ways you might frame this moment in your studio. Circumstance number one, why students quit, or how students quit, is the ghost. We had one of these recently in my studio. I feel like they're getting more frequent, but I don't think that's actually the case. I think I'm just noticing them recently. Not that there's that many, but just they stick out to me. And that is, yes, the ghost. The recent student we had been with us for 2 or 3 months. Not super long, but not like a couple of weeks. They just stopped showing up to lessons. The first one they didn't show up to, the mother texted us and let us know. And then after that, they just didn't show up. So in the text to let us know, they said, oh, she'll be here next week. But they weren't. And that was it. It's a weird feeling, especially when you've had a relationship with this student and you feel like, wow, they don't even think I'm a human. Like, that's what it feels like to me when someone ghosts in any scenario. They didn't think I was worth giving the time of day. They didn't think I was worth just messaging quickly, emailing, texting, whatever they wanted to do, and saying, hey, we're stopping lessons. Not that hard. It's not like we have some policy that we're going to try and bind them into paying for some amount of lessons. We don't have that. So yeah, it's a mystery. But I think this is one of the ones that you can't learn anything from it. Unless there was some big blow up before this happened, we just have to shrug and say, well, we don't know what's going on in their life. We don't know what really happened. And we're not going to know. And that has to be the end of it. And we have to just move on from there. Reason number two why your student might have left is actually that they've graduated. And I don't mean they've graduated from school, that could be the reason, but that they've graduated from piano, from what they wanted out of their lessons, right? That's a graduation. That's not quitting. So we need to reframe this sometimes. If our student got what they wanted from their lessons, then they're not quitting. They are graduating from lessons. So sometimes that's they've achieved a super high level of playing and they're happy because they can play whatever it is they want and they just want to, you know, explore on their own now. Great. Sometimes it's they wanted to get their skills up to the level of playing with their band and they feel like they can do that now, so they're graduating. But sometimes it's that their parent just wanted early music exposure for them and now they're letting them call the shots, but they got what they wanted. It's not that they think, oh, piano didn't work for us. is that they're thinking, yes, it was great from ages 3 to 7, but now I want to give them ownership, and that was their plan, or that is their plan. There are many different circumstances which you could actually frame as graduating, where we don't have to have this negative note. We can miss them. We can think, oh, I'm so sorry I'm not going to see them every week, or even, I wish I could have brought them to a higher level of playing. But if they or their parents got what they wanted from lessons and are just done, that's not really quitting, because they achieved what they wanted. The next reason is another unpleasant one, and that is a disagreement. So sometimes a student leaves, and it's nothing to do with anything about your teaching, the lessons, or the circumstances of the student. It's a disagreement with parents. Sometimes students end up quitting our studio because a parent doesn't like our policies or the way we dealt with a certain issue. And in these circumstances, we definitely need to stop and reflect with a clear head, meaning give it some time, give it a couple of days so you can cool down, and really think about, are they right? Are they partially right? Did I handle this correctly? Is there anything I could have done better? And that doesn't have to mean you should have broken your policies. I'm not saying that. Especially if it's some basic policy like they should pay you on time, or you don't give makeup lessons, or anything like that. Or anything that's important to you and your studio. You don't need to bend on those things. However, sometimes the error is much further back, right? Sometimes that bubble that we see in the screen protector is all the way at the beginning of the application process, and we need to go back to the start. We need to think about, did I fully, in person, explain that policy to this parent? Or if some disagreement came up, when it came up, did I get antagonistic about it or passive aggressive? Did I simply send them a link to the policies with no other comments? And they perceived that, I think rightly, as me being a bit snarky, right? Did I word things correctly? Could I have communicated better? So the change that you're making is normally not to your hard and fast rule, unless you reconsider it and think, yeah, it really is ridiculous. I don't agree with my former self about this policy, and then you can change it. But it's usually to do with communication. And most often, from what I've seen, it's to do with communication that happened at the very beginning. You know, you had that first meeting with the parents, hopefully you had that. During that meeting, you didn't explain that lessons cannot be rescheduled. You know, sometimes we just miss things. But we have to be honest with ourselves and say, okay, that's what happened. How can I make sure that in every new parent meeting, no matter if they come with their screaming baby, I can still remember to explain this to them, like make yourself a checklist or something like that, right? So there's many possible solutions, but when there's a disagreement, try to uncover why that happened and whether it was that they were never a good fit for your studio because they weren't going to agree with your policies or how you deal with certain situations, or whether it was actually the way you handled the communication around that, or whether they really just, you know, totally agreed to your policies, even in person, in a real life conversation, said, yeah, that's no problem. We don't mind that you can't reschedule lessons. And then when they wanted to reschedule a lesson because their car broke down and you couldn't do it, they flipped their lid. I mean, sometimes these things just happen. It's usually because of something else going on in their life that made them, you know, high strung or have the ability to flip their lid very easily. But it's worth reflecting and seeing if there's anything better we can do. Okay, number 4 is a simple one. Sometimes students are going away. They could be literally moving, or something could be changing, like they're changing schools and your studio is no longer on their route home, or, you know, something like that. But sometimes they're just moving, and there's nothing really to learn from that except you're sorry to see them go. And think about, if you're open to it, could you continue their lessons online? Now, that's a big if, because if you don't want to be a teacher who teaches students 100% online, with the investment in learning really good tech and good strategies that involves, If you don't want to be that teacher, then you just say, you wish them well, and you say goodbye. If you do want that possibility of teaching students online, then this could be a good opportunity to talk about that, to see if you can convince them to give that a go. But otherwise, going away, that's just something that happens in our type of business, and it does come up. And I know in some communities it happens more than others, like teachers who teach in military towns, they get a lot more movement happening. And there's nothing we can really do about that if you're going to stay living where you live. Something you just need to allow for as part of your business and the fees that you have and all of that stuff. Reason number 5 then is that they're giving up. You know, I recently posted about this whole are they quitting or graduating thing on our Instagram, and a teacher commented and she said, yes, I don't like the word quitting. I never like to use that word. And in most cases, I agree, as you're seeing here. But sometimes they are quitting. And I think we should just call a spade a spade. If they are giving up because it feels too hard, they are quitting. They didn't get what they wanted. They wanted to stick with lessons and achieve whatever goal. And they're not going to get that because they want to give up. Now the question is, why? And could you have done anything to improve that? So this reason has some overlap with the next one we're going to talk about. But maybe you did make it feel too hard. Maybe they were a transfer student and you assumed they knew things they didn't know, and therefore you were giving them challenging repertoire that was just way beyond their capabilities. Or maybe they just were having difficulty with the pace of your lessons, right? And you didn't recognize that soon enough. So there is something you could learn from that. Now, not every time, as with all of these, but it's worth reflecting on. I said this was related to the next reason, which is disillusionment. They're disillusioned. So sometimes they're quitting, stopping lessons, because they had incorrect expectations of what this would be. And it could be the student or the parent in this case. So the parent didn't realize that you really were going to require practice every day, or what that would feel like, or how much it would rely on them. Or the student didn't realize that they weren't going to be able to play the original version of For Elise on day 2. There's only so much managing of expectations we can do without it sounding negative in that first interview or first meeting with a parent. But I think we can do quite a lot to make sure that expectations are clear. And that's not about saying to them, listen, this is what piano is like. It's hard. You're not going to achieve anything for 3 years. No. But it is about, in that first meeting, kind of trying to tease out what they want from lessons and therefore what they're expecting and whether they have experience with music and what that looked like for them, so that you can try to tease out how they think about music lessons and what's involved. And definitely when it comes to the practice, being ultra clear, if the parent has to be involved in practice, telling them that from the get-go. Don't be afraid of scaring them off. If anything, we should want to scare them off if they're not going to do that. Because if that's what you want them to do, you don't want them in your studio in the first place. And I know that's a hard truth, especially if you're struggling for students. So maybe you have to make compromises there. But it's better to have that conversation than to just move forward with our eyes blinkered, hoping that they're going to do what we expect or want them to do without making that clear to them what those expectations are. So maybe your student is disillusioned with lessons, or their parent is. Reason number 7, when I got 2 left, is the downgrade. By which I mean, piano has been downgraded in its priority in their schedule and in their life. Sometimes we set a certain schedule with students and something comes up, like a sports conflict or some new opportunity to join a chess club or a difficulty with getting to lessons. Sometimes they will choose the other thing over the piano lesson. They decide that it's not the priority that this other thing is. There's nothing we can do about that. We can make our lessons fun and relevant and engaging, and we can make our studio a super warm and welcoming place to be. But if they prefer football and it's scheduled at the same time and you can't change their lesson time, or the cost is conflicting with each other and the child or the parent has to make a choice between these activities and they don't choose piano, there's not much we can do about that. And I think if that is the case, this is the number one situation where I don't want you to beat yourself up about it or mope about it or go in circles in your head, because you can't change that. You can make your lessons great, but you can't be bitter when they prefer another thing or they want to prioritize another thing. That is their choice, and we can't bemoan that. I mean, I really think we can't, when all these gripey posts, which I get when students choose sports fixtures over their piano lesson or different things like that, you can get into this mindset where it's us or them. But we're not in a battle with sports, okay? We're just not. We have to accept this as part of working with kids who change what they want to do, or their parents change what they want to do. And that's just part of our industry. Okay, the final reason, sorry to end on a negative note, but I've called this gloom and grind. If the student is quitting because the parent will say they're bored, they're finding lessons boring, they don't like it, they are finding it unpleasant in some way. I mean, there are many different ways they might describe it, but if you think what they're getting at is they just don't like it, well, I think there's a lot we can learn from that, isn't there? Because I think there's a way to make music connect with almost anyone. And if we truly want to be an inclusive teacher, I think we do have to reflect on, okay, what were the lessons actually like with this child? Now, sometimes we just don't manage to make that connection, and I don't want us to completely berate ourselves about that, because sometimes, you know, we just can't. It's happened to me. I've had a student where I've tried every trick I knew and I still just got a blank stare and they ended up quitting. And sometimes it's just they've just decided in their little head that they don't like this or they don't like us. And it can be hard to change their mind on that. It's usually possible, but it can be hard. So don't be too hard on yourself, but do take a moment to reflect and say, could I have done anything to better connect with this student where they were at? Okay, so those are my reasons students might leave your studio. We've got ghosting you, graduating, disagreeing, usually the parents disagreeing with you about policies, going away, giving up, becoming disillusioned, downgrading us in their priority list, or feeling like it's gloomy or it's a grind, it's too hard, it's too boring, it's not fun. So let me know which one of those resonated in the quitting situation you're in right now, and whether this gave you a little bit of a different perspective. I would love to hear about it.
One of the awesome benefits for Vibrant Music Teaching members is that they get an exclusive member magazine every month. This magazine brings together our blog articles in a way that is digestible and super actionable. If you want to become a member and get the magazine as well as all the other benefits, you can go to vmt.ninja to sign up.